While we're approaching the end of our time in our study of the book of Hebrews, in our devotionals, our daily grace devotionals, we've been looking at the exhortations that all begin with the two words, let us do this, let us do that. And these exhortations are designed to help us put into practice, to put into application, the great truths, the glorious truths that we've learned about our Lord's high priestly ministry, the new covenant that he mediates in that ministry, and of course the perfect sacrifice that he's offered on our behalf that was not only necessary, but was sufficient, and therefore perfects us before God. So because we have this wonderful gospel, this wonderful message of our Lord's perfect work on our behalf, we are now to do something with it. We are now to apply it. We aren't just to take these glorious truths and put them in a credo form and hang them on a wall, but we are to make them part of our daily life. We're part, make them part of our daily devotion, our daily worship. And they are designed to help us to incorporate into a new level of intimacy with the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. So our fellowship with God should be deepened, broadened, and become much more meaningful through our understanding of these great truths. So today we look at Hebrews chapter 13, verse 13. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 13, which reads, "So let us go out to him outside the camp, bearing his reproach." Now, of course, to understand this, we want to read the entire context. So I'm going to begin at verse 7 and reread that in its context. Quote, "Remember those who led you, who spoke the word of God to you, and considering the result of their conduct, imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Do not be carried away by varied and strange teachings, for it is good for the heart to be strengthened by grace, and not by foods, through which those who were so occupied were not benefited. We have an altar from which those who serve the tabernacle have no right to eat. For the bodies of those animals whose blood is brought into the holy place by the high priest as an offering for sin are burned outside the camp. Therefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people through his own blood, suffered outside the gate. So, let us go out to him outside the camp, bearing his reproach. For we do not have a lasting city, but we are seeking the city which is to come." End quote. So we're being told to go out. We're being told to go out from something. There's an action required here. We must leave something. We must leave someplace to go someplace. And of course, we're to go out to Christ. He is outside the camp, and we are to bear his reproach. Now, that is not an invitation that you're likely to hear in an evangelistic setting today. No one's going to say, "We'd like you to receive Christ by going out to him outside the gate and bear his reproach with us." But that's what the scripture's teaching. Scripture's teaching is that the world has rejected Christ, that he's outside of the system. He's outside the gate. Of course, the historical reference here is Jerusalem. The historical reference is the rejection of God's people, of their Messiah and their Savior, and so that he was crucified outside the city walls. And so if we're going to go to him, if we're going to follow him, we must go outside the gate as well. We must be prepared to also be rejected by that system. But I would say this too, we must also be prepared ourselves to reject that system. For it is no longer a godly thing. It is no longer something that God is involved in. So we must reject it ourselves. Let me explain a little bit. There are two incidences in Israel's history, of course, that will help us understand what is being said here. The first one was the incident of the golden calf at Mount Sinai, where, of course, Moses had gone up to receive the law. The people grew restless, And so they decided they would fashion a god after their own understanding, after their own making, and they would say, this is the God who took us out of Egypt. They decided they wanted to have this contact with this God who had done this marvelous thing on their behalf. But instead of clinging to the revelation of God that came through Moses, they decided to make a God of their own understanding. And so they made this golden calf. And when Moses came down, he had this incident, and there was this horrible event that happened. And then throughout the months and years afterwards in the wilderness, God, he set up a tabernacle. Moses set up a tabernacle outside of the camp as a visualization, a reminder that they had rejected their God. And while God was having mercy on them, God had not abandoned them. He was acknowledging that he had been rejected by setting that tabernacle up outside the camp. So anytime then anyone wanted to approach God, they would go outside the camp to approach God and be reminded every time of their rejection of God. The second is the reference to the high priest going into Holy of Holies once per year, to do the Day of Atonement, where he would offer the blood of the animal. But on this day, unlike the other days, when he would offer the sacrifice, and then the priests were allowed to eat the bodies of the animals as part of their food supply. On this day, the Day of Atonement, they were not allowed to eat the body of the animal they sacrificed. They offered the blood on behalf of the sins of the people, and then they had to take the body outside of the gates, outside of the city, and burn those animals' bodies outside. So this is part of what we get in the historical background, helps us understand what he's been saying here. These are a little difficult verses to understand, unless we just boil it down to the fact that what we're really talking about here can be summed up in one word, and that is separation. Separation. Now, what is it from which we are to go out? What is it? What is the gate? What is the camp? What is the separation that you and I are to do? Well, I want to read something to you. I don't make a habit of reading commentaries during these devotionals, but I do want to read this one. This is very, very apropos, very helpful, and so I want you to have the benefit of it. It's from John MacArthur's commentary on the letter to the Hebrews on page 441. And let me just read this quickly. For the Jews to whom the Hebrews was written, separation from the world system meant separation from Judaism. God, so to speak, was no longer in the camp of Judaism. Whatever significance and importance the old covenant and traditional ceremonies, regulations, and standards of Judaism once had, they are now invalid. God now does his work completely outside the camp of Judaism. The moment Jesus died on the cross, the veil of the temple was torn in two, and the temple, the altar, the sacrifices, and the ritual ceased to be a part of God's program. These were now a part of the world system, a part of man's religion, man's way, man's work. God cast them aside, and they became as pagan as any sacrifice in the temples of Baal or Diana. A Christian Jew had no more right to hold on to Judaism than a Gentile Christian had to hold on to the worship of Jupiter. End quote. That is profound. That is profound. The application to you and I today is this. We must recognize that there's a system of man-made religion to which there is a lure, to which there is a default. And we have to be very careful to not default back to it. Rather, we are being called in this devotion, in this verse, to go out to Christ, outside the camp, bearing his reproach. We are to go outside of the worldly systems of religion. And the historical reference, of course, to Judaism helps us because we understand, therefore, that we are to go outside, and please hear me now, we are to go outside any form of religion, even if it calls itself, especially if it calls itself Christianity, that would reenact or reestablish the old covenant in our life. The old covenant where we come before God as some kind of terrified sinners, approaching a holy God with no basis of mediation, except for a temple, except for a priest, except for sacrifices, rituals, feasts, and other religious duties. This is very, very important. When we receive Christ, we are to leave all of that behind. We have an altar, but it is an altar upon which Christ was sacrificed. Our sacrifice, we do not have a physical altar today. The old pagans in the first century, they saw that Christians had no buildings. We had no temples. We had no priests. We had no altars. We weren't offering sacrifices. And not only were the Jews rejecting Christians, but the pagans considered Christians to be atheists because we didn't offer sacrifices. We didn't have an altar. We didn't have a place to go to say, here is God, because we ourselves, individually and corporately, are the temple of God. We are the dwelling place of God, but not in hallowed buildings. We have a mediator. It is the Lord Jesus Christ himself, our only high priest. When we have a perfect sacrifice that has been offered on our behalf, and we dare not now replicate or try to reestablish any form of the old Judaism, even if we call it Christianity, by reenacting or reestablishing altars and offering sacrifices and relying upon priests to mediate for us before God, to feel that we have to go to buildings to be able to find God. Those are things that we are to come out of. Let me say that again. Those are things for which we are to identify as now pagan. They're part of man's religion, man's system, and we are to come out of them. We are to go out to him, outside the camp, where he has suffered, bearing his reproach. The reproach is, of course, the rejection. The rejection of the revelation of God, just like it was rejected at, that revelation was rejected at Mount Sinai, so also the revelation of God in his Son has been rejected in Judaism, has been rejected in paganism, has been rejected by the world as a whole. So for you and I to be faithful to our Savior, to be faithful to Jesus, we must go out. We must come out of that. We must come out of that system, any man-made system that would draw us back to reliance upon those other religious practices and symbols, artifacts, and duties, things that have been now declared invalid because they've met their fulfillment in Christ. And to cling to types and shadows, to try to reinstate the old Judaistic practices within Christianity, is to reject Christ altogether. You don't create some kind of messianic Christianity. You reject Christ altogether when you do that. So our call today is to put all worldly religion behind us, all man-made systems behind us, and go out to him and bearing his reproach and stand at the cross and declare that Christ himself is our Savior. He is our Lord, and he is absolutely sufficient. We are complete in him and in him alone. Amen.